hey, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to be back next year for a new season. At least everything happened on the season finale. Oh my god, they didn't! But they did. Marvel TV Weekly starts now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Can you hear me?
Do you want to build a snowman? Welcome to Marvel TV Weekly, where we're spinning your favorite Barbra Streisand tunes, but we're also talking about Marvel TV, and yes, also talking about Marvel movies, and who knows, maybe about comics. I'm Christian Blatt, joined as always by Michael Shirley.
That's me. Super happy to be here.
And Amy Cassandra Martinez.
That is me.
Carrie Lane.
Right here.
At some point, we should just all break into, do you want to build a snowman?
I'm down, yes.
I almost said, do you want to kill a snowman? Whoa. Where did that come from?
No, we love snowmen.
Now, if you haven't seen Deadpool, like Michael, you're like, why is this on now?
Yeah, why? I'm like, what is going on
and
here?
And why do they keep talking about, do you want to build a snowman? So, you know, our producer in the booth, Anthony, a.k.a. Tony Bitoni underscore, he pointed out that, you know, Deadpool's only been out for a couple of days. We are going to talk about all the Deadpool spoilers, but we're going to save it for the end of the show. So if you get to that point in the show and you haven't seen it, then, you know, press pause, go to the movies, and come back and finish it.
And I'm going to change the colors of the lights, y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll know.
But we're going to definitely talk about spoilers for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. On Friday, which also is only 2 days. But we can't talk about it without the major spoiler, which is the fact that Talbot ends up in space. I didn't see it coming. And there's obviously something that happened in the episode that if you haven't seen it, you should see it and not learn about it from us. This isn't like, you know, getting a call in the middle of the night that someone has passed. This is basically like saying, oh, you know, the movie My Girl, where Macaulay Culkin dies before the end of it. You know, see, that doesn't help. That's a terrible thing to do to somebody who hasn't seen that movie. It's a bad movie, so I felt okay doing that.
Aww.
Anyway.
The Good Son?
No, that's actually a pretty good movie, The Good Son. Thank you. We're going to just sort of talk about, get instant reactions, although 2 days later, on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. The End is the title of the episode. But as I mentioned in the top of the show, ABC did indeed renew Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for a sixth season, a 13-episode season, which I told you, 13-episode season. It will not start until summer. There are some theories as to why that can be a good thing, which we'll talk about.
Like this summer?
No, next summer. It's going to be summer 2019. So we got more than a year without Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But we know it's coming back, so there's that. Michael, your thoughts?
Oh, I'm so glad. I knew there was no way they were going to end it like that.
I thought you were saying you were so glad about the person who died.
Oh, we'll get to that.
Okay.
Mm. We'll get to that. But I love this episode. It was so good. I wasn't really expecting Daisy to be able to drink that stuff. That was kind of...
I mean, Daisy's fairly badass. It's been established. Well,
she's injected.
Yeah. I was surprised that she could handle that, but I don't know.
We're gonna have to dive into the spoiler. So again, if you haven't seen Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we're about to talk about the major spoiler from the season finale.
We were all expecting like big deaths, and I didn't necessarily want anyone to die because I'm pretty okay with the team.
But just the expectation was, I felt like, you know, maybe three people were gonna die. I thought it was gonna be big.
Well, that's kind of big.
Well, the way that that Chloe Bennett was writing about it on Twitter, I'm like, oh my god, so many people are gonna die. But she was just talking
about... People died like people died in Infinity War.
Well, but they didn't. That's what I thought was going to happen, too. I thought people were going to Infinity War. I thought that they were going to turn into dust.
Someone had to die, and for all the things they do, which they pointed out in the show, it's like, wow, we've survived so much. And so it's kind of like, yeah, it was unfortunate.
The stakes just are never... I don't know. I hate... I don't feel like the stakes are ever really that high when... Oh, yeah, the good guys, you want the good guys to win, but you can't keep everyone around. Like, I just don't think, you know, if you're working in the FBI or whatever, you know, you're not going to be with all your teammates forever. Mm-hmm. I will say that this episode, I forgave Mac, finally.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. I forgave him for his framework flub. Mm-hmm. So I'm fine with Mac now.
Do you like the idea of Mac as the director of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
No.
Do you think that it should have been, I almost called her Chloe. Do you think it should have been Daisy?
She didn't want it.
You
want it to be her.
But if she doesn't want it, she shouldn't be it.
But I don't know that she can handle it. Yeah. I mean, I really think Yo-Yo needs to be in charge, but whatever.
No. Mm. She's a little too cut and dry. Like
maybe.
And that's why Mac was the better choice. If it's like, it's heart, and he thinks about it, though, and he's good to he's good at listening to everybody, but like does the morally better decision.
I feel like the best choice is May, but I just never see her being a leader. Yeah.
She's no pencil pusher. You can't get her behind a desk.
Yeah.
Although I think when we meet her in the pilot, she's working behind the desk, actually. Yes. So, you know, back in the first episode of the season. But anyway, she doesn't like it, is what
I'm saying. Not like Coulson never saw action.
Yeah, that's true. But he's going to see a whole new kind of action now. Oh, yeah,
whoa.
I went there. What? I'm just saying. It's a magical place. And he finally got to go, like, for real.
I did really appreciate that. What did you think, Amy?
Guys. So that scene at the end, yes, I loved it. And, I mean, I like the way they shot it. So Coulson's there, and then you're like, oh, no, is he there by himself? Bam. Hi,
oh, I knew
May.
It. I was like, oh, right? It better be. Well, because on the ship, I'm like, she's not there.
Yeah.
She's not there.
Yeah. There were so many parts where I thought something was going to happen and then it didn't. And then with Coulson, that whole situation, I think in the last, the third act was, I was kind of confused. Because I was like, wait, like what's going on? He is going to die. Is he already dead? Like what's going on? But I think they handled that very well. And as far as having a nice balance of action and heart and, you know, tears from us.
Somebody sent us a text message a few hours ago after she watched that part, and she was very emotional. I'm not going to name names, but someone was very upset, and I wanted to share in it.
Yes, just thinking about it right now.
You're getting a little worked up.
Yeah.
Well,
like freaking. Show, man.
We'll get Carrie. Yeah. We'll get your thoughts in a second. But the reason why I think that this works as one of those season finales that if it had to be a series finale would have been fine.
It felt like a series finale.
But they left enough things in there. Like, Michael, you were talking beforehand that, you know, Gemma is like packing up and it gives the impression that she's leaving S.H.I.E.L.D. Or she's getting ready to go bust Fitz out of where we know he is.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they feel about time travel paradoxes, but they already broke the loop. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so why not bust?
I don't think she cares. I do wonder what happened to Deke.
Like, well, he didn't snap out. We didn't see him.
I didn't see him at all.
And
I think
we didn't see him because they didn't want to show us that he didn't snap out.
Yeah.
Because, by the way, there's a chance, okay, maybe she doesn't go and get Fitz. We don't know that she's not already pregnant.
Yes.
So she's pregnant right now.
Oh, Deacon's, stop.
What? And that's the first
thought
I had.
The whole time, they're like, you have to stay together. It's like, also, couldn't it be a different father, too?
Well,
because
the DNA is a match for both of them.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah. But that was good thinking.
She could already be pregnant.
Yeah, so right there. That's how easy it happens, kids.
But
keep
also
that in
for
mind.
Me, I feel like safe. Because he is in space still, that still would... Like,
yeah, she can go get him.
Yeah, there's still a Fitz around, so I don't see that meaning that
original
he would
Fitz.
Disappear.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
original Fitz, the OG.
That's the OG Fitz.
Yeah.
So. Trippy.
Yeah.
It was super weird. When they're having that conversation, I was like, wait, huh?
Oh. All right, Michael?
Yeah. Sorry.
It's all right. We're all a little verklempt.
Yeah.
It's emotional
for all of us.
Carrie, your overall thoughts on the episode?
Oh, yeah. It was so good and emotional. Me too. I was like, I think pretty much like from the death, like, to the end, I was, like, sniffling and stuff. And
they just go that route where it's like, hey, I can't feel my leg. I think it's broken.
Stop.
And he says it again. And
oh
you're like,
no.
It was a really good performance.
It was a good death, for sure. Well, then also it's just like, and then the aftermath of people reacting is what's emotional then, too. So there's that. And then essentially Daisy saying bye to Coulson. So then I'm like, okay, we get goodbyes on hold it, so many different kind of levels. And but yeah, kind of the pseudo happy ending of I was totally dug Coulson and May at the end. I'm like, oh, they get a little bit of time together.
Yeah. Okay. Like, yay. Now, and it's left open ended because we don't know how much time he has. And there is nothing that says that he can't be cured through some other way.
That's true.
Way.
There could be something totally else.
I don't think you would go through the trouble of that if you're in the season. Like, why save him? Like, let him die.
Because he's the real connection to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. He's the guy that we want, especially because he's going to be in Captain Marvel and he plays a major role in it. I think that they're going to really want him back on the show.
I don't think so.
One way to fix him is somebody who was not in the season finale. The Ghost Rider did not show up, but if he had, I think that they could have figured something out. And I do have one complaint. It was a great episode. But when we finally have the big showdown with Quake and Graviton, whatever.
Graviton.
That's what somebody called him that in the chat. it's over way too quick. And it's like the fight with Ruby, where I was just like, why won't they let Quake have like awesome Quake fights? Are they that expensive? It was great.
It was pretty good in the initial hit. This is where the special effects budget went.
They were saving it for this. And it is really cool that she sent him into space. But
that was a good choice.
Yeah, which I think is how they get rid of Hive as well. So they're just like, let's just throw a lot of trash up in space. No wonder that the Kree get so upset at us. You know, it's because we just keep throwing
dumping
all
our trash in space.
Except for you, Fitz.
That's right. He's not there. But he's like built into the lighthouse. Is that where? I don't even remember where he hid out when he went to rescue everybody. But he's there. Gemma will find him in theory. And you can heal Coulson. You can get everybody back in for the 13 episodes. I do think that it'll start and he'll still be, you know, oh, is he going to die? And he'll still be, you know, having a little vacation. But the fact that it doesn't come back till the summer is very useful because what will have been in movie theaters by the time it comes back, Avengers 4, whatever that's, we still don't know what it's called. I guess they'll tell you. I was going to say they'll tell you at Comic-Con, but it'll probably be the Disney thing.
War 2?
But they're not going to call it that. It was going to be Infinity War Part 2.
Yeah.
Infinity War 2, The Edge of Reason, or Infinity War 2, Book of Shadows. You know, there's a lot of great Part 2 titles that they could have used. Electric Boogaloo, I don't know. But
I like that one.
Well, that's a personal favorite. But at the same time, whatever that movie's called, I think they'll be able to deal with the events of it in probably a more useful way. And, you know, sort of the aftermath of whatever happens in Avengers 4. I mean, we'll see. But I just want our little S.H.I.E.L.D. family to be more included in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I agree.
And I like when they interact.
I don't think Coulson will live past the next season of this show. Like, I just think we'll see him, but I don't think he's going to, like, just live forever.
No, I mean, he's not going to live forever.
Like, I just can't see the point of
like
trying.
Yes, like fame, thank you.
Like, you've got to let someone go to have some impact. I don't know. If his show's over and he's going to be in, like, 90s movies, why do they need him around anymore?
Because we love him, okay? Does it have to be any more complicated than that, Michael?
I like him.
Okay. It didn't sound that way.
No, like I said, I just want the stakes to be a little higher. When you see people missing, it's like, then you know anything can happen, and it's more exciting, I think.
Well, let us know in the chat what you think. Carrie, are you keeping an eye on the chat?
Xavier Jones says, maybe Coulson will be saved in Captain Marvel. Maybe he just shows up in Avengers 4. Then Nicholas Stormy says, well, don't they have to leave Fitz in space not to mess up the future? They've already changed the future, so I would say no.
Yeah, that's what I said. You're definitely going to create a paradox because if you take him out of there, then he doesn't sleep all the way through and come and rescue everybody, but you've already been rescued.
Yeah.
It's time travel is so super weird. Complicated, and I don't know. It's
trouble.
There's a lot of trouble.
Tony the Booth has a funny suggestion for the movie title, Avengers 4, Some Assembly Required.
That's
funny. It's a good one. And then also Nicholas Stormy says, get Coulson some more Kree, magical Kree blood.
All right. Well, yeah. That mm-hmm. I mean, that's a great example right there. And
or get Tony Stark to give him like a new heart or something.
Well, Tony Stark doesn't even know he's alive. You know, he hasn't taken the time to call Tony. It's weird. Ugh. The director of S.H.I.E.L.D. hasn't let Tony Stark know, by the way, I'm alive. But that's all right. He has his reasons.
But yeah, Michael, I agree with you. The higher stakes, and we need somebody to die at some point because it's
an action show.
Yeah. I mean, they can't all survive and they're all that magical that they never
injured. What if Fitz stays dead?
Stop.
He's anyone still alive. He's not going to stay dead. Even Daisy?
You want Daisy to die?
Daisy can go on and do something else. Yeah.
She won't die.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't know how I feel about it either. I just said it. I'm in shock still.
All right. Sky's dead.
Thank God. No. I love Daisy. Something else that we can all love. Want to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of your life? For those who do, have we got the podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast edition is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life, from health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more. Let our Maria be the big sister you've always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate and comment, and when you do, please let her know. Marvel TV Weekly sent you there. Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast edition. Check it out. In terms of things that we've all checked out, I think we should spend a few minutes talking about the latest episode of Legion. we were talking before this show. It was all right, but not my favorite, probably because last week's might be my favorite in the whole run of the series. Not just because of Singing Mouse, Amy, but he's up there. but what did you guys think? I'll start with you, Carrie, because... We'll go back the other way.
Yeah, no, I thought it was a fun one. I like the voguing Vermilion in the hallway.
Yeah.
Like Carter turns around and they're like, pose. Da-da-da, pose. That was just fun and creepy. The resolution of the insanity bug, essentially, the weird grease bird. So that resolution was nice because it's one of those, like, can we solve that and move on? Because it's an interesting storyline, but it's kind of one of those, like, and... I don't know if I trust future Sid much.
No.
You keep saying
well,
that.
Well, here's one thing, though.
Especially after this episode.
Because of that one arm thing?
She's talking with Farouk, and then I'm kind of like,
So what that did is that put a hole in my theory was that future Sid was actually Farouk. I'm glad we had this scene.
That.
Yeah, I had said that. Actually, you know what? I think I said that in a Legion After show. I don't think I said that here.
Yeah.
That I thought that future Sid was actually Farouk trying to be like, yeah, no, you totally have to save his body. You need to. And it's like, well, of course Farouk would say that. Mm-hmm. But her actually meeting him tells me that that's not the case. And yes, that makes us maybe not trust her quite as much as we did before.
Like, at first she seemed okay, and now I'm like, well, because also there was the thing of, is that really cheating being with like future Sid versus present Sid? I'm like, no, because it's the same person. Because, like, Doctor Who, River, can be with different versions of him in different time. I'm like, it's the same person.
Yeah, but that's...
And Time Traveler's Wife is different points of time.
But that's how a doctor and a doctor's wife feel about it. I think it's up to Sid for how she feels. And she's like, no, I'm me.
That's true.
She's
Make
a different
some parameters.
Me. And she's just like, no, I am not okay with it. And I feel like that... I think I agree with Sid.
Same.
So if my wife ever wanted to, you know, hook up with a future version of me that's way more handsome than this version, I say no. You have to be stuck with this
version. How is he more handsome?
Men age like a fine wine.
Sid looks the same.
No, the future me probably went to the gym more than I did. This is wishful thinking, I guess. I don't know. What did you think of the episode, Amy?
There were some beautiful moments, aesthetically speaking, that I enjoyed. But yeah, I mean, comparing it to the previous episode, I was like, okay, guys, let's bring it again. And they did, but it wasn't my cup of tea. I did like, the haircut people.
Vermillion.
There we go. Them coming back, I'm a fan of them because
they're just so wonderfully weird.
They still freak me out. I have trouble with
them. They did a good job of like casting and what they look like. They're just so bizarre. Just
like, I don't know. I might come in here one day and look like that. You know? Just kidding. I would never
Don't be just kidding. That's a great idea. And I think we should all
do it. I'll put a wig on. I can't fully commit to that decision.
I'll grow the mustache. Haircut. All right, anyway.
Okay, well, hey, that's bland. And then, yeah, the scene with David and then the giant, like, bug thing. Oh, I have a weird way of describing things, but that's how it helps me. It was pretty. It was so beautiful. It was just, like, red, and then he looked different, and then it was just, like, tiny. And, you know, that was cool. Yeah, I just wanted more. Want more action, more meh.
One of the things that I did like is that we got to see Admiral Fukuyama's face because there was always, for me, I'm like, well, who's under there? Who do we know that's hiding? I didn't think that that was Farouk, but I'm like, who is it? Like, why don't we see their face? And it's just like, no, just weird basket head dude. How you doing? I'm Admiral Fukuyama. Go figure. I'm an Asian guy. So I thought that was nice because that was a nice reveal. They poked a hole in my future Sid is actually Farouk theory. So, you know, at least we're moving the story along, you know. And I think that just whenever Farouk is on screen, I'm just very happy with the interaction. I think he's great. And I think they're both underestimating the other.
I think
neither one of them really grasped just how powerful the other is. I mean, David knows that it took somebody as powerful as his father to, you know, basically get him disconnected from his body in the first place. And I think Farouk is just like, well, this is just some kid who he doesn't realize the potential of what David can actually do. I mean, the fact that future Sid needs Farouk to save us from David, interestingly enough, I think just kind of speaks volumes. What did you think, Michael?
Well, I thought, you know, the way he was pulling those little insects out of people's heads, it's showing that his powers are kind of what we were expecting. But, I mean, it seems like it's all tied to this one personality, but not necessarily... I don't know. It seems like it's growing. So I really liked seeing his powers evolved. I also really liked the bug scene. It was really cool with the red background. I like all that stuff.
And that forced perspective shot was so cool.
And the point when Farouk got in the car and it all just started filling up with the smoke, that was so pretty to watch. Of course, none of it makes any sense, but it was pretty to watch.
Of course not. Did any of you guys find it really jarring? Like, that whole scene with Farouk and Sid when they're talking, where it just, there's little skips in
Yeah, it was doing that.
Well, it's generally Sid who does it. Because it's also how they've distorted her voice for the future, which is super interesting.
It's very like what they did on Twin Peaks, like in the Black Lodge, the way that they, like, make these little glitches. It almost seems like...
It's like they removed some frames, so it's all jerky and stuff.
Well, and the thing was that the scene was so long that each time it happened, I had to blink and be like, okay, reset. And I was just like, But good for them. That's cool.
I'd like to see him develop, like, multiple personalities, but I don't know if because the show is so crazy, you need David to kind of ground the show. I don't know if that's why we're not seeing that, but I keep thinking something crazy is going to happen and set him off, and then he'll splinter off into these, like, personalities where he'll compartmentalize and...
That's what I'm still hoping for. I want David's different personalities show up on the show. But
it seems like it would take Sid dying, I think.
That's fine. Let's just kill people. Like,
well, he's already had his sister die, and we saw how he react. So, but yeah, it's like that's kind
of... It's going to take more, I think. It's going to be like a compounded thing.
What's so crazy about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Legion is that everything's, the world's going to end, and people are going to die. And I'm like... So let's do it. Let's go for
Guns
it, you know?
Amy.
Amy's gonna, you know, kick the tires and light the fires.
That's me with my awesome haircut that I'm gonna do.
and I'll have the mustache.
There you go.
What's going on in the chat, Carrie? What did people think of this week's Legion?
Some people are not as up to date on Legion.
Oh. Well,
are you all watching Legion? It's a good question.
That is a good question. Because if nobody's watching it, we can stop talking about it.
Funny one. Nicholas Stormy says, present Sid. You can't hook up with her. You can... Oh, wait. You can give her a hug if she needs it. David immediately hooks up with future Sid.
It's a great point. Yeah.
Xavier says, David leveled up like a Megazord or Ant-Man. LOL. And then... I think that's kind of it. Not as many people are watching that one a little bit. Oh, and then Ivan says, Dark Amy.
Yes.
That's you, Dark Amy.
Dark Amy, thank you.
Then, yeah, Xavier says, Sid dying would really make David go Dark Fiendish / Franklin Richards.
Whoa, that's a good reference, Franklin Richards, who maybe one day we'll see in a good movie, but unfortunately, probably not. We wanted to have kind of a quick conversation about some of the most impactful Marvel deaths that we've all witnessed. And I think we're going to start with Amy, because I know that your Marvel TV death ties into something we talked a lot about. And I kind of wanted to replace mine with it, but I knew that you were going to go with this one. I just had a feeling.
Aww.
So talk a little bit about your Marvel TV death, the first death. We're going to each do three.
Yes. So I woke up this morning not knowing what I was going to choose. And then Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. happened, and I was like, okay, so it spits, obviously. Here's the thing. You guys know that I binged.
Yeah.
All of the seasons of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So I felt especially connected to all of them, because it's like they're all just new to me. But I mean, I guess I could understand, like, you know, building the whole amount of time with them and all of that. But I just immediately attached myself to Gemma and, that's weird,
Fitz
and Simmons. Yeah. So for me, a death doesn't need to be forever lasting, if that makes sense, for it to be impactful to me. So the way it happened was absolutely, for me, out of nowhere. Like, I thought he was gonna be safe, and that's, you know, that's how they get you. And why would you put that picture up?
When you think of all the times he could have died,
exactly.
And all the,
yes.
You know, times where, yes. You know, just the stakes were much higher. You know, this is basically, you know, there's some rubble, and that's what does him in.
I'm going to interject real quick. That death, I was still surprised when it happened, but as soon as they were, like, coming off of the ship and in the rubble area, I'm like, move, get out of there quickly. This is just dangerous. Someone's going to get hurt. And then when it happened, I was like, I knew it.
Told you.
That would have totally happened to me, because I would have been like, oh, I'm totally going to selfie this right now. And then I wouldn't have gotten out of the way, like Carrie's saying.
It was good and shocking, though, because, I mean, he was coming. It's not like he was walking. I mean, you know, it's not like he was taking his time. Yeah. But, ugh.
Well, and I think what hurts, too, is the way he reacted, obviously. He's not going to be like, hey.
Yeah.
And he was just very Fitzy, you know, like just... and then the fact that how May and Mac reacted to him, just like, and then you don't really see what's going on, and then you do, and then it's just heartbreaking, and it was horrible. And then when it happened, I slammed my phone, and I was like, no, I'm gonna get loud, just so you know. I was like, no, they can't do that. And I was screaming, and then the waterworks started happening. I was like, no, that's not okay. You just... So, obviously...
Had you thought about the fact there was another one at the point when you saw it?
At that point, no.
Okay.
Right after, yes. But I was still like, you're still taking him away from us. We don't really, really know if Simmons is going to really find him. I mean...
Oh, come on now.
She will. How long will it take? I don't want it to take, like, 12 episodes.
I can't be well.
And then and also, the Fitz that you're going to get isn't married yet.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of memories he doesn't have.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like we'll get him pretty quick, and they're going to have to work through that.
The badass that he is, he won't really be that.
Yeah.
Because he did all that prep for the future, which now he won't need to do that as much. So it's like, oh, but he got so cool. Because he was a cool nerd, but now he's like, oh. But
so Fitz really did die. A version of
that
him.
Version.
A version of Fitz
dying. It's just heartbreaking.
Well, when you know what, when the one in the framework died, I was okay. But anyway.
Well, okay. Yeah.
Oh, and then when Gemma hears when Mac walks in.
It was like This Is Us. Yeah.
And I know we're talking about the deaths now, but now we're back to this. And the fact that they just don't tell Coulson. I was just like, that made sense. But, you know, Daisy's, like, fighting all the tears back and just like, we'll totally tell him. He's sorry he missed this. And I don't know.
So angry.
They just dragged it out.
I'm glad they didn't tell him. I don't think he needed to know that.
Yeah.
That was a bad time to take a drink of water. Michael, what is your first death? Do you have a Marvel TV death?
I picked a TV, a movie, and a comic.
Okay, well, we're going to do one. We'll take turns.
Okay, so my extra.
What?
He's teasing me about my Twitter handle. He says the X is for extra.
Oh, the X is for extra. I still say it's for Generation X, but go ahead.
My favorite TV happened, same episode, my favorite TV death. When she blew that dude into outer space, I was just like, yeah. I wasn't expecting that. Like, when she did that, I was like, great. He's just going to come flying back down and, like, cause more trouble.
It's true. I was not expecting. Because
there was plenty of time left in the episode at that point. So I thought the fight was actually going to be longer. But I was like, she got it done. Like, I was not expecting him to go so far into orbit that he would not be able to do anything.
Just imagine if we had done this topic a week ago. Neither of you would have had those picks. I know,
it would be
so
different.
I would have been fine with that. You'd be fine with a Fitz
who's still with us.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I just love that. That was badass.
Well, for me, when I wrote to you guys with what my picks were, obviously your person doesn't have to stay dead for it to matter. Mm. My TV one was Daredevil Season 2 when Elektra died. In the comics, we see her again, so I always expected that she wasn't going to stay dead. But it doesn't make it any less impactful. So I went with that one. I just thought, you know, the character was really coming into her own. I really liked her with Matt. I'm not a Karen Page shipper. Sorry for anybody who is. But
Karen Page with Punisher.
Oh yeah.
Now see that. Yeah, I'm all right with that. Yeah. Well, definitely not with Mike Rowe's wife. That's just weird. But anyway, so that was my TV one. And Carrie, what was yours?
This one's not like a huge death, but it was somebody who stood out. I think it's Jeffrey Mace. He was the Patriot. He on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so he's the one in charge after Coulson kind of was bumped out. But when he died in the framework, I just was like,
it's sad to die in the framework. Yeah.
And he just was such a nice guy trying to do good that, like, you couldn't hate him even though he was butting into the business of the team. But I felt bad. Like, it was just one of those, it's just unfortunate. Like, I don't think I, like, cried or anything.
Oh, man, that's such a crappy way to go.
Yeah, and he did it saving people, too, trying to help out in a fake world. Which makes it worse of like,
I hate it when they kill off a superhero because he was actually like a character.
Yeah.
But. Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. I had not thought about that one. So a lot of love for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Did you hear that? I'm the only one who's all about Elektra. Amy, what is your second death? Two of three.
We're going to go into comics. Okay. So this one's, it's a twofer only because I like him for two different reasons, but I think they're both very impactful. So I started reading comics not too long ago, and Thanos Quest was the first one that I started reading.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And the first death the first death that I ever read in a comic was the In-Betweener. So this is when Thanos is trying to get all the stones. I think as a newbie to comics, that was the first, like, oh, look, death's happening in a comic book, like everyone else has, you know, pointed out. So that's one of them. But the most impactful, actually still from the same comic, is the gardener's death. It's a tie because this one wasn't the first one. But the way he goes just is painful to see. the panel, well, multiple panels of him just all up in, well, you got to see it. You really got to see it. It's just horrible to look at, and Thanos just doesn't give a crap. He's like, okay, cool. I got your stone. Thank you.
That's who he is.
Yeah. But like
Thanos be hating.
Haters gonna hate. So yeah, definitely that one, the gardener and the in-betweener.
It looks like a bad way to go.
Pretty much.
Michael, what is your second choice?
My comic was Gwen Stacy. Because that's a character whose death you weren't expecting. It's reverberated throughout the years. It was kind of like what I think Chris Claremont wanted to do to Jean. Like, she really did just stay dead.
Jean was supposed to stay dead.
Right.
I was speaking to him earlier today about just that. It's a conversation with Chris Claremont that we'll use little snippets of on this show in the weeks ahead. And that was one of the things he talked about. Cyclops was supposed to marry Madeline Pryor, retire, move to Alaska. Just happened to be a lady who looked like Jean Grey. We weren't going to see him again. But then the editors get involved. So anyway, yes. It's, by the way, interesting that you mentioned Jean Grey. But the tragedy of Gwen Stacy, it's very apparent in the comics, but you also notice in the movie, is that the Green Goblin does not kill her. Spider-Man kills her, yes, trying to rescue her, because he shoots the web and he basically, you know,
snaps
her spine. Yeah, yeah. Like Amy said.
I brought up a picture. I don't know if this is it, though.
Yes. And if you see right there, it has
there's a small snap right by
and
her.
In some of the reprints, they take out that sound effect. So I think that they thought it was too disturbing. So if you look at it right now, for those watching on YouTube, so look, if he didn't try and save her that way, he's since figured out what he could have done. Which is like create like a net. Hammock or a net or something. He could have tried to catch her that way, but he didn't. I mean, he's a genius. Also, he should have thought about it.
Also,
but
while he's pulling her up, he's saying, "Spider powers, I love you." So he's not even aware that her neck snapped yet.
Yeah,
and he's like, "Not only am I the most dashing hero on two legs," and then he just gets cut off.
Right, because he realizes what he just did. This is one of the worst superhero deaths in the sense that it's the best done, but it's just very tragic. You didn't see it coming. Although, technically, you did see it coming because the cover of that issue is somebody's going to die tonight. And it's all these faces. If, Anthony, you can find, I think it's Amazing Spider-Man 121. There it is. The title of the episode, the issue, and they tell you in the last panel, is the night Gwen Stacy died. But the cover, it just says this is a turning point. So it's like, is it J. Jonah Jameson? Is it Mary Jane? Is it Flash Thompson? Nobody's going to cry. Is it Robbie Robertson? It could have been any of these people. Nope. Good old Gwen Stacy. And it's sort of...
I like that they left it with her. Like, they didn't try to raise her from the dead.
There was a clone. Yeah. There's always a clone.
Hate when that happens.
You know what I mean.
No, I know, but she essentially stayed dead, but at a point where not everybody stays dead. Since you guys were doing comics, I will do my comic one next, which is indeed Jean Grey when she died in 1980, the time that was supposed to be forever. Marvel's editor-in-chief Jim Shooter was like, yeah, she's going to die and she's going to stay dead. And I've said many times on this show how important the Dark Phoenix saga is. It's one of the, it's the best comic book story that I've ever read. It's Uncanny X-Men 129, 137. 137, Jean Grey realizes she's become too powerful. And this is not what happens, what you have there, Tony. This is a different story. This is a different time that Jean Grey dies. What I have
it's cool
is, it's cool, but in Uncanny X-Men 137 from 1980, Jean realizes that the only person who can stop her is herself. So she kills herself.
Jeez.
And she snuffs out the Phoenix Force. And then 5 years later, the editors decide that she needs to come back. And it takes a lot away from it. But in that moment, in the way the story builds up, you just realize it's the only thing that she could do in that moment is she's just like, I have to basically walk into this laser. And I don't know. It's right up there with Gwen Stacy. Those are two. But this one, it gets undone. And then she dies again. And I think she comes back again. So, you know, it's like you have to just sort of look at it in the moment where it originally happened. I feel like
she's died more than anyone else.
Jean Grey? She's died a few times, that's for sure. And Carrie, did you have a comics one or whatever your next one is?
No, but I was trying to think of just, more unfortunate deaths. So, Amy in Legion, David's sister. That's... That one was just like, oh, she was just really a death too.
She's just going about her business, and and then you know Farouk and Oliver are like, we got a crazy idea.
We got a plan.
Yeah.
That was weird.
It's just a gnarly way to go too. It looks super painful and like getting morphed into this other body.
Yeah.
And it's not a nice clear. And I mean, human beings have a weird attachment to like the body after of like make sure to bury it or whatever kind of ceremony. But now it's like there is no body. It's like she's disappeared.
Right.
So it's like, that was one that was just bummer.
Amy, interesting, your third and final choice. It ties directly into something that we just talked about, but it's from a different media. What is your selection?
Gwen Stacy.
Oh! From Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yes.
Emma Stone.
Yes.
And in the movie, she's wearing the outfit that Gwen Stacy wore in Amazing Spider-Man 121. She shows up, and you're like, oh, no.
Well, the thing is that...
That's actually so cool. Sorry, I didn't know that fact, so I'm just, like, taking appreciation to that. I just gotta say, that's so cool.
She's got the purple skirt on,
I had no idea.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you had to basically be me when you're sitting there and you see it when she comes up. And I went to an early press screening of that, and my wife had to work, so I brought her sister. And in that moment, she goes, like, just the theater is mostly quiet. She had no idea it was coming. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's got to be a bad feeling to not know this is coming. Yeah.
That was my position. Yeah, so the whole point where... Peter doesn't know that he's killed her, and then he's still like, yay, yay. And then that realization, that was us. Like, you know, people that hadn't read that comic. And so then when he's just sobbing over her, and this was also around the time that Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone were still together. So it just, it was heartbreaking, unexpected, but really nicely done.
Yes, sure. And you know what else died in that movie? The Andrew Garfield Spider-Man, because then we got Tom Holland. But I love Tom Holland, but I did like Andrew Garfield, mostly because I liked the Peter and Gwen Stacy scene so much. I was like, you know, if he's never Spider-Man in this movie, and he just hangs out with Gwen Stacy, I'm going to be okay.
Those were the really, really good parts, yes. For sure.
Michael, your third.
My final. I know you might think this is really strange, but I picked Cyclops' death in X3.
The Last Stand?
I was not expecting that at all. It happens like the first 10 minutes of the movie.
It's true. I was not expecting it.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, she just took him. Like, that was, when you find the glasses all floating there, oh, it was so good.
I'm inclined to just think it didn't happen. And you know what? After Days of Future Past, it didn't happen. So.
Yeah. I mean, we all have our feelings about X3. But I will say that, to me, was probably the highlight of the movie. Just because it shocked legitimate. Me. Yes, it was nothing it was I would ever about. Thought was going to happen.
I remember being so mad when that happened. Because he was one of my favorite characters.
Yeah, I like him a lot as Cyclops.
Cyclops gets a bad rap because people like to make fun of him. And I'm just like, I don't. I love Cyclops.
I like him too.
He's the Captain America or the Superman of the X-Men. You know, he's like the moral center, which is why... I refuse to believe that he would leave his pregnant wife to go be with Jean Grey.
It's Jean.
Something that I talked to Chris Claremont about earlier today. Yes, that's we'll talk. We'll show that clip at some point. For me, it's also now there are a few places you can pick this from, but I'm saying from the first Amazing Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield. Uncle Ben. Now, Uncle Ben also dies in the first Tobey Maguire one. But this one's Martin Sheen, so I really felt it. I don't know. Anytime Uncle Ben dies, it's very sad.
It's because, like, the beginning of the story.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's where it starts. But because we'd seen it twice, I was so glad that Tom Holland did not have an Uncle Ben dies moment You know, he just references, oh, you know, all that bad stuff that's happened. Great. We get it. So, here's to you, Uncle Ben. Finally, Carrie, your third and final.
Yeah, I was kind of curious of, like, what are some of the other, I was curious on other lists, too. And I, just because you're like, well, what are other people thinking?
Yes, out in the chat verse.
Yes, they're definitely agreeing on some of the stuff and similar ones were saying, yeah, please write some of your deaths because I know people are
If you're not watching the show live, just leave the comments down below or you can tweet us. We'll give us, we'll give you all of you our Twitter handles momentarily.
All right, this was the, well, somebody said when Coulson gets stabbed by Loki.
That's a good one. Oh, it also didn't stick, but that was rough. And you know what? That's what brought the Avengers together. Yeah. So.
Actually, you know what? That was one. Okay, so I'm going to pick a movie one. Another one of those doesn't stay dead, but it's also a different version. So I don't know if you'd call that the same, is Groot in Guardians of the Galaxy.
That was sad.
When that death happened, I was like... No, I love but
then we
this
got
character.
Baby Groot.
This is true, and I love Baby Groot. Teenager Groot, I don't know about, but Baby Groot.
All right, so those are our deaths, but let us know yours. You got another one there in the chat? Just one more.
One more in the chat. I do agree. That was my other thought. Nicholas Stormy says Professor X and then Wolverine and Logan. X falling apart was making me cry.
Those were both exceptionally well done deaths. Tony B. Tony in the booth. How many minutes are we allowed to have here to talk about Deadpool? I know what time it is. I just want to know how many minutes are you comfortable with us doing right now?
I'm going to play Do You Want to Build a Snowman? And you have until the end of that song.
All right, so we're going to talk about
it.
No, I'm kidding.
We're going to talk about Deadpool.
Yeah, go ahead and talk about it.
5 minutes? Is that too many? Is that good?
No, you'll get more.
All right. So you start telling us when to wrap. But we're going to talk about Deadpool with all the spoilers. So put on the spoiler light, and there's a spoiler sound effect or whatever. And Michael Shirley has not seen the movie. However, he does not care. He loves the spoilers because he wants to know. So... we're going to start with the spoiler that's going to make you the happiest. Who the big bad is in it. That's right. All the spoiler alerts for Deadpool.
As Tony said, the lights will be different. When the lights...
It's like epilepsy.
Yeah.
Okay, so when the lights change, rave. Then is this red? Can we do red for spoilers?
Yes. There we go. We got spoilers.
I'm trying to figure it out.
It's okay. So when these go away, guys, that's the end.
Yeah, that's right. But now it's a spoiler. Yes. So if you haven't seen Deadpool, this is where you need to pause it. Go see the movie. Come back and finish our show. So the big bad is Juggernaut.
What?
And he is big.
Like huge.
Bigger than we've ever seen him. We never see his face.
And CGI.
And he's super CGI.
Does he just look like the Hulkbuster costume?
Kind of, yeah. And there's a moment where Deadpool says, all right, get ready for a big CGI fight because it's Colossus.
Yes.
And Juggernaut.
That's so funny.
And it's awesome. Everything you would want Colossus versus Juggernaut to be.
For some reason, for me, it was so much more enjoyable than like all the CGI fights I saw in like Infinity War. I don't know. That's just me personally. I dug this fight. Like, I felt every impact, every smack, every punch, every grab, every throw, everything. I felt it so hard.
I agree. I mean, that was a great moment in this movie. On the whole, there's a lot of things that I liked. But, Carrie, I'll start with you. What were some overall thoughts and favorite moments?
Yeah. I love that they brought the humor and the raunchiness again. Some of the gags, they went a little longer. Like, the baby legs was longer than the baby hand thing.
It was his basic instinct.
Yes,
and
that was
really good. But the whole gag was maybe a hair longer. The leg longer.
No. There were no hairs. That's the beauty of the baby legs. Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Of like the just joke. I'm like, okay, that's a... All right. But it was funny, and that made it fun, awkward, uncomfortable. What happens with Vanessa, I was like... But the end redeems it. So I'm like, well, sort of.
Yeah, that told me that she was tied up filming Gotham and couldn't be in the movie. Oh, so they figured out a cute little way to get rid of her and then bring her back so she can be in Deadpool 3. This is my theory.
The action was great. A lot of killing. So we should the other big spoiler for Michael. So he was like, X-Force team. We're like, well, they all die.
Not Domino. Because she's lucky.
Yes.
Yeah, so they assemble Shatterstar and whoever Terry Crews' character was. And
Bedlam.
Thank you. And they're
also
all badasses.
And
of course, they use that AC/DC song Thunderstruck, and they're all badass. They have this look. It's so, funny. And then they all jump off.
And Peter.
And Vanisher.
Yeah, and Vanisher, who's great. And they all jump off, and most of them die in the fall.
Because of the winds. Because the of heavy. The
bad winds.
Well, if only somebody had warned him against the winds, then it wouldn't have happened. So Deadpool and Domino are the only ones who survive. So Shatterstar, a.k.a. Longshot's brother, does not make it out of... He doesn't even make it into the end of Act 2, but...
Longshot will come looking for him.
He should come looking for him.
You'll find him.
He does mention, Michael, and I thought of you when he said this, that he's from Mojo World.
Mm-hmm.
And we know how you feel about Mojo.
He's so fun.
So that was another great moment. Amy, what are a couple of standouts for you?
Oh, Zeitgeist died. Did you know
that Zeitgeist did die.
The spitter played by...
Well, somebody, Nicholas Stormy says, lasted one issue in the comics. So.
Who did? Zeitgeist?
Yeah.
That's a weird name.
Yes.
It's like being a superhero named Schadenfreude. Who did you think? What did you think?
It was so funny.
I love Domino.
Yeah,
she was good.
I loved her so much. Yes. I want to be her when I grow up. Yeah, I mean, there were some parts where I was pleasantly surprised by how emotional I got and how funny I found some things. Like the freaking, the baby legs. So stupid. Yeah, it went on for too long. But I don't know. Just having a great time.
The basic instinct.
Oh my gosh. Well, and also the audience that I went to see it with. Like, everyone was having a ball. People were laughing, screaming. Mm-hmm. They were very, very vocal. It was Thursday night. And I was like, yeah, this is great. It was pretty late, too. So, yeah. It was fun.
Serenity is clarifying, saying that Shatterstar is Longshot's son, not his brother. Dazzler and Longshot's son is Shatterstar.
I think he's their son from the future, so that's why I thought he was his brother. You're absolutely right, by the way. I was definitely wrong when I said brother, but it's like he comes back from the... It's like a Cable situation where Cable's a baby, and the next thing you know, he's an old man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we haven't even talked about Cable.
Cool.
Cable was great.
Yeah.
I'm not the biggest Cable fan, but I think in this movie...
Does he die?
No.
No.
Does not. He does a lot of time travel.
Yeah.
For me, my favorite moment... is when Deadpool's complaining at the mansion, like, why can't we get any good X-Men? And then you see, like, Beast, like, very carefully closes the door.
Good.
And I need to see that image again because I'm like, I saw Quicksilver. Yes, Quicksilver.
I saw Quicksilver, yeah.
And Professor I didn't get, couldn't tell everybody who was in the scene because I wasn't expecting it. So I got a
face. And
they're
the actors.
I believe I saw like, Cyclops off to the left of him.
Yeah, but, like, the current
Cyclops.
Xavier,
Oh, yeah, that was a moment that I'm like, can we pause, go back, rewind?
Right.
Who
was
there?
So funny. And he's like saying, like, couldn't the studios just throw us a freaking bone? And then they just see him in the background, like, Beast is creeping up and closes the door. Oh, so good.
And by the way, the great cameo of Brad Pitt as the Vanisher when he, hits the power lines. Thank you. That was good. Loved all the stuff during the credits. Deadpool starts to play around with the Cable's little time travel slide disc thingy, and he goes and fixes a lot of things that we would like to see fixed.
Such as Vanessa,
which is important to the story. Such as X-Men Origins Wolverine, which needs to be blinked out of existence.
That was a good one.
And the Green Lantern script was very funny. That was great. I'm sure Ryan Reynolds was good about that. Also, I loved Yukio. Every time she would just say hi.
Hi!
Yeah. And I was glad to see Negasonic Teenage Warhead again. She is such a minor character. I was stunned she was in the first one. I was glad to see her again. I'm glad that it was the gang again. It was Colossus and her.
Yeah.
And I'm going to admit I don't know nothing about no Yukio. But I saw that she has some cool powers. So we can find out more about her.
Serenity in the chat says Storm, Beast, and Professor X in that room.
Okay, that makes sense.
I know I saw Quicksilver.
And definitely Quicksilver. I mean, it's hard to see sometimes because he's so fast.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, the new one, yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I for sure remember seeing a Quicksilver.
Definitely sure. Quicksilver, yeah. Yeah. And apparently there was a Matt Damon cameo, but I admit that I don't remember where it is.
That's people okay.
have told
me
about it. and you have to really look for the Stan Lee cameo because he, as the man, is not in the movie, but his face is painted on the side of a building. So he's still...
Do you remember which building? Or they're just going by a building?
No, it's during the X-Force, you know.
Okay,
it's
that montage bit.
I think it's after that. It's when they're trying to get the truck and Domino's driving it. So anyway, a lot of great stuff in the movie. Let us know what...
Oh, the Domino, Lady Luck take over the car thing was so great, too. And then it felt very almost... potentially... I'm curious how it affects other people because it's very almost a final destination mm-hmm. of just chain of events that work in her favor.
Yeah.
But there are other people that cars crashed and stuff that's like, oh, did they get hurt? Because if they don't
very
have
selfish
their luck.
Power.
Real a quick, little bit.
they're saying that Damon was the redneck. I think it's the two rednecks
Matt
on the
Damon,
on the truck.
Yes.
Oh yeah,
there we go.
I had a feeling too. I was like, "This is significant."
I forgot about that. Yeah, so when Cable travels back in time, there's a couple of rednecks, and it would make sense that one of them would be Matt Damon.
Yeah, and naturally. Then the other one I'm told he's Wash on Firefly.
Alan Tudyk.
I thought I recognized him. Yeah.
But Matt Damon, I didn't catch.
And
that.
I was reading an article right now about why Yukio is important. And I will tell you, she is actually an older character who is not the age that we see her in the movie. She's an assassin for hire. But she is the... So by being Negasonic Teenage Warhead's girlfriend... They're the first openly gay characters in a relationship. And it says in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but that's not this. But anyway, I guess these are the first openly gay characters that we've had in the Marvel movies, and that extends into Fox. So that's why it's being consistent. First of all, they're just adorable, and I love her relationship, her interaction with Deadpool. That was always
super
great. Let us know in the chat what you thought of Deadpool 2. We can talk more about it. The one newsy item about this, it made $125 million this weekend, which, believe it or not, is not good.
No.
It is starting...
It made more for the first one.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
People are wondering if box office fatigue has come at last. It's possible. I think
not a movie every 3 months.
Well, 2 months. This is 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's not that long after Infinity War. And I think that worked against it, which it didn't for me because I was so excited. It's like, we got another movie right now. Yeah. And then, I don't know. I think that people will find this movie. I think this movie will be fine. I think we're going to get a Deadpool 3. But that'll be in the future.
I'm also thinking that since Solo is coming out this weekend as well, I believe... People were just like, I'm rather save my money for Solo because it's two great films in succession of each other. Or I don't know if it's great yet, but yeah, exactly.
I mean, if you want to save your money, just, you know, don't see Solo either. But, you know, what do I know?
What?
I'm just
saying. Solo dig.
I mean, I like everything about that movie except for the kid who plays Han Solo. But anyway, we are out of time. Thank you to everybody in the chat. Thank you to Anthony in the booth at TonyBTony_. I'm Christian Blad. You can follow me at ChristianDMZ. Michael, where do people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at MichaelXShirley and on the Roseanne finale tomorrow night.
It's the finale already?
Yeah. Or not tomorrow night, Tuesday night.
Well.
10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
I don't want to go. Amy Cassandra Martinez, where do people find you?
What is this? Song. Yes, thank you. You guys see you anymore. You guys can find me on this is really hard though. Okay, you guys can find me on all social media at Amy Cassandra MTZ. Feel free to sing along.
And remember to wish her a happy birthday on Friday.
Oh yeah, thank you.
And Carrie Lane.
Yeah, you guys can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's KARIDLANE. And go check out the Expanse After Show. We had 3 guests in studio. We had 2 actors and the showrunner producer, so go check that out.
And next week, I believe, will be our final episode with Michael Shirley in studio.
No.
He'll Skype in on occasion, but he's leaving us. And I didn't get to it in the news, but I have a parting gift for you already. It is indeed the X-Men wedding special with Kitty Pryde and Colossus. But who drew this cover, Michael?
J. Scott Campbell.
Your favorite artist. So I bought that for you at the convention I was at over the weekend. So it's a J. Scott Campbell that'll live on forever and ever. We'll talk about Kitty and Colossus's wedding. The actual wedding will happen in about a month. And you'll also hear Chris Claremont not too excited about that wedding, even though he wrote a story in that comic. You'll find out about that and more next time. But until then, Excelsior!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.